Francesca present Seven Matrimony.
All right. Welcome to another Cinematrimony. I am Matt Scalisi. Joining me, Francesca. And we are talking about Les Mis, the Les Miserables, the Best Picture nominee. I don't know. So we both actually, despite Francesca's musical theater background, we both came into this movie with no prior experience with the material.
Well, no, that's not entirely true.
It's not?
I've never read the book. I've never... No, I actually did own the CD for a while because I feel like I didn't.
How can there be a CD of this? They sing the whole movie.
Yeah, it was like a double CD. But I never really got into it, and somebody borrowed it from me and I never gave it back, and I was like, what? You took my CD? Whatever. I didn't really care. As a musical theater snob, I have spent my whole life being like, oh, people who say Les Mis is their favorite musical just have never seen the other musicals, because it's not, like, I think I stand by that. I actually thought that the way people have been carrying on about this movie, I thought that this was
such a
change.
Snob. That is such a snob thing to say.
I'm saying, though, I was fully expecting to go in and be like, oh, I was wrong. Like, maybe I just always needed context.
You were expecting
for this music
to be proven wrong from what you already thought.
Yeah, because I'd never seen the show. And so in my old age, I've softened and gone like, well, maybe you just have to, like, in context, you know what's going on for this music to, like, really affect you. And I can admit that I didn't, you know, I had no context for all the music. But I mean, with the exception of I Dreamed a Dream, which is a very, very, very powerful ballad, even when it's not being killed by Anne Hathaway, it's still a really good...
Killed in a good way.
It's still a good song and good lyrics and emotional, even when it's not done well, really. Well, I mean, I guess.
Not like Susan Boyle singing it.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a story. Like, that's the thing with the Susan Boyle thing. I've had time to think about this. The Susan Boyle thing is it's, you know, you see this kind of frumpy middle-aged woman, and it's like her singing her song, you know?
About how she's sold her body for...
But that's not... The lyrics aren't that at all.
No, not really, I guess.
Giving up a dream sort of thing.
Yeah.
So... You know, that's where in that phenomena.
I would say it makes a little bit bigger impression on me when it's being sung by a poor, destitute woman.
My point is that is a good song because melodically it's powerful, but also lyrically it's a powerful song. Because
yeah.
In general, you know.
I would say that I think having watched this, I think the context is absolutely everything for all the music.
Yeah, but it just got
I don't
so
think
tedious.
Any of it can work outside of the movie, or the story, I should say. I'm not going to talk about a stage musical because that's not what we're talking about, and I don't really care if it works on stage or not. I'm only concerned about the movie at this point.
Yeah, well, I would probably give it, like, a B minus, honestly. And now, I know that you're going, like, I sat next to you and you were crying, but you know I'm
No, that's just different. That doesn't mean anything.
I sat next to you, and I know you were crying.
Well, I will say this. I think the overall... What surprised me about it is that the overall theme of it is very... I guess I just had this expectation that it was, like, this movie about, like, the poor rising up and defeating the, you know, the tyrants and everything. And it's really actually a very anti-war, anti-violence story.
Yeah.
And it's about... someone redeeming himself over the course of his life through making decisions of mercy and love and forgiveness. It's a very like religious story, I think.
Yeah. Well, and I mean,
I was very moved by the story, and I thought that it was. I mean, I will say, like every musical that I've ever seen, it has a lot of fat on it. Because for whatever reason, people that write musicals cannot help themselves. Like, they don't edit themselves, I don't think. They add in about half a dozen characters and half a dozen songs that could easily be hacked off and you would not miss a thing. And I think that Eponine is basically completely unnecessary. Now, granted, she was probably my least favorite actress in the movie. So that probably didn't help her in my eyes. But I also just didn't really care about her story or her arc or any of that.
Well, I'm sure that from some... I mean, you know, I haven't read the book, let's be honest here, but I've seen copies of it in bookstores, and it is a big book.
I don't care about the book either. I don't care about the book.
I know. I'm just saying, I don't think that was for nothing. Now, I was interested
to learn...
There's
got to be a lot of stuff in the book that's not in this movie.
I was interested to learn, reading my Entertainment Weekly this week, that apparently this show's genesis was actually that it was a concept. It was a French concept album, and that's actually where it was born of, like this, you know.
Well, like an opera album?
I think it was just like, you know.
It's not pop music.
Well, no, it kind of is pop music. But I think that it's, you know, it was sort of songs loosely strung together with a story. Maybe not loosely, but that it was originally like French. Just like a French album, actually, is how it started. And then Cameron McIntosh came along and was like, actually, let's make it English and turn it into a stage show. And that's your little bit of intel for me.
I would say that I think as character arcs and just an interesting plot goes, like, I really think it's well structured that every decision that somebody makes has consequences down the road, and the thing between Valjean and
Javert
is a good arc. I
love how except for like 18 times over, like then they maybe trimmed off three of their like I'm gonna get
you. No, but that's the running. I'm okay with it. It's the running thing throughout the whole deal, and I actually think Javert is a pretty sympathetic character in his own ways. Like, you see where he's coming from. He's not just blindly evil. He's doing it for his own religious reasons. He's just misguided.
After a while.
A little bit. I don't know. I really was not...
Now,
I cared about it.
I will say, though, for all the crap people have given Russell Crowe, I thought he was fine.
I thought he was fine, too.
I actually was underwhelmed with Hugh Jackman singing. Now, I think it was a fine performance. It was really
But
He kind of gets lispy. He's got like a thick tongue situation.
Well, they cast
it. Makes it hard to understand him.
Here's what I appreciate about this. They cast, for the most part, and this is not true all the way through, for the most part, they cast this whole thing based on acting ability and not singing ability. They happened to get some people that could hold their own singing, and Anne Hathaway really did it. But
she did indeed.
Nah, I don't think we really even need to talk that much about it because she's just awesome, and I totally am cool with it if she wins Best Supporting Actress. But like Russell Crowe, he was in this movie because he can act, and Hugh Jackman, whether he can sing or not,
was
in this movie because he can act. And that first scene where Hugh Jackman, I don't think he's going to win Best Actor, and I don't think he necessarily should. But the first scene where he's sort of singing to God, I guess, in the church after the priest let him off for stealing, like that's a really well acted scene. He is acting his butt off while he's singing in that scene, and he just happens to have to deliver the lines.
No, my only point was, much has been made of the fact that Hugh Jackman is a big musical star, and I'm just saying.
I don't think his singing was like awesome.
Good. I think Eddie Tremaine's butt probably deserved a nomination.
Oh, okay.
Around the streets of Paris so much.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else.
No, I'm just talking about that. There was an inordinate amount of his butt on the screen for a good portion of the.
But I thought he was good too. And he had one really good scene too, where he's sort of really emoting a lot, which is
the empty chairs thing.
And you know, let's see. I mean, I was entertained a lot by Sacha Baron Cohen and what's her name?
Helena
Bonham Carter. I thought they were funny and good comic relief, and I thought that Amanda Seyfried didn't really do a lot, but I thought she was good. They could have cast somebody you'd never heard of that was in a Broadway show.
Some of the vocals she did, I was mighty impressed with. Hello.
We're at a security gate right now.
Home, SCALICI, and we are also...
Okay, so we're good to go again.
All right, thank you.
I'm not fond of editing, so I'm probably just going to leave this in. So thanks.
People will know your street address.
No, I tried to talk over that.
Oh, good
so
for you.
I'll have to listen to that part. But anyways, I thought she did a good job.
Here's the thing. I know much has been made of the fact that everybody sang live on set, but like, Really? Because she really, like, hit those man. Notes and emotions.
Her voice, her
she
voice
was
good.
High stuff.
Listen, her voice was really good. And there, honestly, there were a couple of things Anne Hathaway does in her big scene that I was like, I kind of was just like, whoa, man. Like, for real, she can sing. Like, well, not even just, like, for an actress. Like, she's really good.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what I was impressed with is that the part where you sing the note shame and you go up and up and up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was, like, really, really crying. And I'm like, surely, like, her voice is going to break and it's fine.
No.
Because at this point, we're all, like, sobbing in the theater. But she, like, nailed it. I was like, whoa. I can't, like, it's either one or the other. I'm either crying and not singing well or singing well and pretending like I'm crying. It's real hard to sing well and be crying.
I have to, like, own up to, though, that I kind of, like, I know these are different movies. I kind of feel bad now that I was, like, so pro Jennifer Hudson getting an Oscar for Dreamgirls because I think, like, Anne Hathaway, when I went, you know, because I remember at the time, you're like, oh, she acts while she sings. But then I see what Anne Hathaway does in this movie, and I'm like, no, actually, like, Jennifer Hudson was just singing.
Well,
like, Anne Hathaway is for real acting while she's singing.
This may
totally
be,
different business.
This may be, you know, this may be a little bit of, you know, actor speak, but I was reading in that same Entertainment Weekly Anne Hathaway talking about singing that, and she was like, I was not enjoying it at all. She was like, that was not like, oh, I'm just singing and having fun. She was like kind of going into very, very dark places to sing that song.
You would have to be able to do what she did in an unbroken shot. There was no outs for her. She had no shortcuts.
Well, I think
as far as her performance,
like,
right there.
You know, Jennifer Hudson got to sing, and I am telling you. And that song is written to be like, you're going, like, it's a very dramatically written song.
Yeah.
But I Dreamed a Dream is a very dramatically written song, but also a very done song. So to sing it and be able to make it actually feel like,
I didn't feel corny listening
song.
To it.
Like,
yeah.
It's not the, you know, it's not Susan Boyle. It's actually
no,
somewhat emoting
the
song.
It was totally effective. And, like, I, you know, the words really were, like I said, I think in context of watching her story, it just really speaks to you. And, you know, again, I'm probably reading too much into it because I think this movie would have done well when you'd have released it at any time. But, like, this is a particular time in our culture where I think everybody's a little conscious of, like, of just being, you know, taking care of each other in our society and not just telling people to deal with it when they have things not going their way.
Well,
and I feel like this movie is right in line with that. Maybe, you know, again, maybe it's just me, but I feel like this is a movie that is perhaps connecting with people because it's going like, you know, look, we can't just all be out for ourselves and say, screw it, you know, it's me against you. We have to, you know, we can't just let each other die in the gutters. And I don't know.
Well,
maybe I'm reading too much into that.
Well,
but
no, I just would like the record to show because you obviously, I think, liked it a lot more.
I think I did, for sure.
I think you're giving it a rave, but this half gives it a sort of
middling.
A little bit more of a meh. Just because, in part, too, like I said, I stand by what I've felt before. It's just not actually really great music. Like,
oh, I just don't care about that.
I mean,
that,
and
though.
I know, I guess a lot of it's recitative because so much of it is song.
Oh.
So it's just, you know,
music
and
school
here
coming
I'm doing
out.
This thing, and then it's just in opera when it's not really like the arias, it's the music in between that's just moving. The
yeah, you're saying
along.
This is not,
it's,
this isn't.
So much of it is that it gets kind of tedious that it's like, just give me a melody for the love of God or I'll stop singing.
I thought
like,
there were enough melodies, but it, you know, I mean, it's not Hairspray. You know?
Yeah. It's not Hairspray, is it?
Yeah, well, I'm saying, I don't want it. I don't think it should be Hairspray when it's a movie about French poor people dying.
I guess, and again, on stage, maybe it makes more sense, but, you know.
Oh, see, I don't see this working on stage. I think I would be bored to death if I had watched this live.
No, what it was about, what about it had to be cinematic?
The setting.
Fine.
The setting is so, such a huge part of it, and I just think it would be hard to pull off, especially where there's a lot of, like, different things going on at the same time, you know, where, like, they do a lot of that where there are actually three people singing different things all at the same time.
Yeah, although that was a little, I got a little embarrassed for everyone involved at the end. I think it was at the end of One Day More when it cut to everybody and it was just cutting to, like, five different people all going like, ah! it was like five shots of people just with their mouths open, like looking out a window.
Well, again, look, you have to suspend your disbelief a lot more.
Like, the rest of that song was really good, but that, I was like, why did we choose to do that?
When a,
like,
with a musical, you have to suspend your disbelief more than in any other genre. So I was up for it, I guess.
And I just, it's always.
It worked for me. I'm not saying this is like a life-changing movie or anything.
I don't know, you kind of, your little, it's not. Your little soliloquy there sort of indicated that maybe it was for you.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm going to take that away from
you. I'm not saying that because I've already seen movies this year that I think are better than this. But I do think this was a lot better than I was expecting. And it was a lot more effective just as a story. You know, again, I tried to come to this with very low expectations, but I didn't expect it to have the bent that it had, which is towards a very sort of like social justice message. And well, I just really appreciate that about it. I think it did that well.
Mad props, which again, this isn't really the movie so much as I assume the story because it's the impetus, but it is always nice when, you know, a religious person is a good religious person.
Yeah, he's like not a douche. How about that?
Yeah.
A priest in a movie.
Because it has been my experience that almost to a man and woman, every religious person I've ever met is actually a good person striving to do good, you know? So it's always nice when a film decides to throw away the convention that all religious people are evil and actually go like, no, there's actually really good people in the world.
Yeah, but they really could have gone with it in this particular period they chose, because back at this point, like, cardinals were, like, lopping people's heads off and stuff back then.
Yeah, but that is kind of, I assume that's, like, pretty much straight from the novel, because that is sort of the whole reason
he
changes his life.
He's supposed to be kind of a rare character, I assume.
Well, no, I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it was, I mean, basically, the reason I can only give it middling marks is that
You didn't like the little kid.
Oh, well, yeah, a little scamp.
I liked the part where the little kid was sitting on the back of the...
We're gonna go be revolutionaries! I'm seven, but I'm carrying a gun!
I liked the part where he was sitting on the back of the carriage and, like, kind of giving the narration for a minute. I liked that.
Yeah, you would. You would. Well...
Why? Why would I like that?
I don't know.
Is that, like, the
That's Yak Back Matt.
It's the 19th century version of Yak Back Matt.
It's Yak Back Matt. Guys, let's go get a pizza after this.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, speaking of, I want to say quick shout out, though, to Craig Hamilton, who brought to the film nerds' attention that one of the main themes in this movie is a bit of music played by the Million Dollar Band.
You had to bring it down. It's been a great podcast. Everybody's having fun. We're loving it.
I'd like to know why the Million Dollar Band was playing the song that was like the prisoner's working song from Les Mis.
You've seen Seven.
You think so? Are you calling him a what's the guy's name again? I keep forgetting.
Javert.
A Javert? Saban is Javert?
I don't know.
Anyways.
Out of your mouth to God's ear.
So, that's pretty much that for us.
So... Yeah.
Matt liked the musical better than Francesca.
Yeah, well, because maybe, as I said, maybe that's the only musical you've ever seen.
It's not, for clearly. I like lots of musicals.
I know.
And there's also a lot that I dislike.
But it did make me cry a bunch, but then so does everything. But, you know, it had its moments, but, like, there's stuff like, you know, A Little Fall of Rain, where Eponine's dying, and there's, like, they're, like, shooting at people, but, like, they're like, hold on a second. Everybody shut up!
No, actually, I did think that song was kind of pretty, but, I didn't really care because
That's a little suspension of disbelief-y.
Eponine, she served her narrative purpose at that point, which was to take a bullet for Maurice.
Basically.
That was her only purpose that she served, was to step in front of a bullet, basically.
Oh, crap! There's a musket in my face!
All right, well... Anyways, we have arrived, so good podcast.
Now, do you hear the people saying about how they're going to have my head soon because I didn't like the beloved, sweet, beloved Les Miserables?
I think you gave it a B+.
No, I said B-.
Oh, man, that's really low for you.
I know. Well, as a movie, if I'm bored, if I'm...
I wasn't bored at all. The whole time, I was not bored, ever.
The momentum got a little pokey. All right. Little puppy. Not going to get the chocolate custard.
All right. We'll leave it with that.
All right.
Bye. I'm not-